Thank the Lord for the blessings of the singing this morning and the scripture and how God meets us in all these good vehicles of His grace. Quite a generous Lord, for sure. And to think with you about one of the greatest gifts He's given to every person. And you and I can experience Him in this gift, and it's the gift of prayer. Something we take for granted and something I take for granted. I learn a lot about praying from the Scripture, but also from hearing children pray, because their hearts are real open. You know, they're talking to the Lord with 100% dependence on Him. And also from people who have walked closely with the Lord. It's a great gift for everybody. Everyone can pray. That's what I like about it. Not everyone can sing well, like Paul sang in John. They're such a blessing, and all of you who have ministry of singing. Not everyone can fix things. Someone was talking about the building. What a beautiful church facility is here. And if something needs fixed, you know, I said, well, I can bring a hammer. I can hold the ladder, but that's about all I can do. I'm not going to be, I don't have the technical skills to do some of the things you all can do. Not everybody can serve in a certain way. Not everyone can organize. But everyone can pray. And so prayer is God's gift to common folk. That's you and me. Common folk. The Lord gave us that gift. And so when we pray, God is saying, bring it on. I love it. I created you for that kind of fellowship. And really, it's an experience of paradise again when we pray to the Lord through Jesus, just like in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve had unbroken fellowship with God, close to Him all the time, talking, no barriers. That's the gift of prayer that you and I have through Christ. And Jesus taught us many things about prayer. In the book of Luke, for example, if you went through that Gospel of Luke, in about 80% of it, 80% of the chapters, you'd see either Jesus praying at a certain time in the Gospels, or you'd see Him teaching about prayer. So if you want to grow in your prayer life, Luke's gospel is where to go for it. He'll help you a lot in that. And I want to take just one story Jesus told to help us learn four prayer principles or four experiences about praying that the Lord can really help us with. And the first one is a story He told, and I'm going to retell it as if it was you in the story today. Say you're at home, and it's late in the evening. Toward midnight, you're getting ready to go to sleep. There's a knock on your door. It's an old friend from high school has come to visit you. You didn't know that they were coming, so you're surprised. You and your family have eaten a big supper hours ago. Most of the food is gone in the fridge. You have to go shopping tomorrow. No midnight McDonald's or Wendy's or anything like that. And so there they are, tired from a long trip, hungry. What are you going to do? They say, can you get peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Just something. I don't have any peanut butter, no jelly, not even a loaf of bread. I'll go to my neighbor next door. Wait right here, you say. My neighbor, I love him, he loves me. You knock on a neighbor's door. Knock again, it's late. The dog starts to bark. Neighbor comes to the door a little bit grumpy and sleepy. What can I do for you? A friend of mine from high school stopped. Long trip and would like something to eat. We don't have anything. Can I borrow a loaf of bread? Your neighbor says, oh, wow. He's very groggy. He's not sure if it's midnight or 4 a.m. or what. He says, my kids were sick all day yesterday. My family's very tired. I couldn't make my way to the kitchen if I had a flashlight. Can I bring something over tomorrow morning, first thing in the morning? No, you say, you don't understand. They've traveled 400 miles. A long way. Can you give it now? I told you, I'm tired. I couldn't find my way to the bread box. You say one more time, you don't understand. My best friend from high school. And your neighbor looks at you and says, you're a pain in the neck. Wait right here, I'll get you that bread. Just so you go away. And so, first prayer experience or principle is this. When we pray, God is not God is not like your tired, sleepy, grouchy neighbor. That you don't have to wear him down for you to spend time with him, or for you to be able to talk to the King of Kings. What a blessing. And Lord of Lords. He welcomes you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He invites you. Come and talk to him. Be close to him. That's why Jesus said, keep seeking and you'll find. Keep knocking, the door will be opened. Keep asking, it will be given to you. And I'm a dad who's very imperfect. Jesus said, would say, if you're a parent and you're evil, you know how to help out your own children if they're hungry. If they're hungry, I'm not going to, you know, here's a snake and a scorpion for you fellas. Not going to do that. We know how to help the ones we love. Jesus said, how much more would the Father in heaven give of himself, give of his Holy Spirit, if we just stop and pray, turn to him? A lot of times we're not close to him. We have not because we ask not. But he welcomes us. We don't have to twist his arm in prayer. What a blessing. Years ago, there was a famous photograph in, I think it was Life magazine, back when that existed, of President John Kennedy in the Oval Office. He was kind of a young president. And he was either writing out some important papers or he was meeting with some cabinet folks in the office. And underneath his desk was a little fella, his son, who was about 3 or 4 years old. They called him John at the time. And it was quite a photograph because you saw the president at work, the commander-in-chief during a rough time in our nation's history in the 1960s. It was a time of Cuban Missile Crisis, Vietnam War, but you had the commander-in-chief taking care of business, and you had a little one close to daddy. And the photograph depicted, really, that the things were going to be okay in the country because here's a person who loved his family and loved the nation. And that photograph is really a picture of our prayer life, that no matter what important things the Lord is up to, he takes time for us. His heart is open. Be close to him in prayer. Knock and the door will be open. And he'll give the Holy Spirit to anybody who asks. That just means being close to God or being filled with himself or being converted. So I know that we could approach God and he does not turn us away. He doesn't need his arm twisted. And we should be thankful for that. And approach him freely and thankfully and with reverence. Sometimes in my prayer life, I think praying is one of the most personal things we could do. And praying publicly, for example, if I were to call on any one of you and say, close in prayer for the message, your heart would begin to beat a little more rapidly, blood pressure go up, because you're saying, I have to talk from my heart to the King of the universe in front of all these people. Whoa. No wonder we get a little concerned about that. But the Lord, he invites us to be close to himself, to seek him out. Second prayer principle or experience in prayer is that the Lord is the best gift of praying. Well, we pray to meet him because he's very gracious. And if you could think of the purpose of prayer being relationship and not just answers. And I like praying for answers because we need help. But most important, we need God. More than the answers to the prayer, we need the one who gives the answer, and that's the Lord. So don't pray just to get answers. Pray, put it a little common way, pray to get God. Pray to be close to him. The psalm writer caught this in his prayer in Psalm 73. He said this, Lord, he's praying, Lord, who do I have in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. We ask the Lord, Lord, give us a heart for yourself. So, hey, he's the best motivation to pray. Somebody asks you, why do you pray? You say, because I pray because I love the Lord. He's good to talk to. And this hit Bruce Wilkinson, who's a Christian author and speaker, one time, how he was to go to God for God's sake alone. He had been in Christian ministry for a number of years and was beginning to get tired of church work. How many can identify with that? Raise your hand. All the tired servants are praying through what to do. Well, he was tired and he said, I don't want to work in church life anymore or do anything like that. In fact, I'm so tired, I'm not even sure I believe in Christ anymore. I mean, he was really at the end of the rope, you might say. And so he felt bad about that, but he went to talk to a friend and just told him how he felt. And the friend said, you know, I think I can understand what you're going through because many have shared that experience. He said, Bruce, when you first became a Christian, the man took two hands. He said, this hand here, let's let this hand represent your relationship to Christ. And when you first trusted Christ to receive him, he meant everything to you. You felt like what was sung, hey, I'm a sinner saved by grace and I'm free and so thankful, you know, so happy. And every day you were close to the Lord, you felt great about that. What you did for the Lord and whether you were competent or skilled in serving him, that wasn't a big deal. You're kind of clumsy, as a matter of fact, and kind of bumble around, no problem. But you were still thankful and wanted to serve well. Well, as time went on, Bruce, you got real competent in your service to Christ. More skilled, more responsibility, more time, more, you know, you're doing so much. And pretty soon, all that you're doing, even in a serving Christ kind of thing, begins to take precedence over Christ himself. And Bruce, he said, this right here, even your good service and your good work is not going to sustain you in your heart. It will not. And so he said, you have to, again, go back and let the Lord be the delight of your life. Let him be the fire in your soul and the one who keeps you going. Let him be the love of your life. And you'll be able to continue to serve in whatever capacity the Lord sends you in. And Bruce Wilkinson said he began again to seek God for God's sake. Not that he would have a great, you know, big Christian ministry, which the Lord gave him anyway, but serve the Lord for the Lord's sake. And he began to be refreshed in him over time. And that's what the Lord offers us through our prayer life, to seek him for his sake. And what a delight it is just to talk with him. I'm sure each of us can hardly believe we get to speak to Jesus himself, the King of Kings, in prayer. It's an amazing thing that we don't thank him enough for. The third prayer principle that we might get out of the passage is that prayer is a miracle that starts with God. It starts with God. Jesus is praying when the disciples come upon him in Luke 11. So that was an appointment he wanted them to see. He's praying. He teaches them about prayer. He tells the story. And so prayer is a miracle that God starts in our life. When I was in first grade, I had 42 classmates in our first grade class, if you can imagine 42 6- and 7-year-olders together. We had one teacher, Miss Neff. And she wasn't real strict or anything, but we learned a lot because we knew she loved us. And she had one rule. She said, in our class, since there are 42 of you, don't speak until you're spoken to. It rung in my ears till this day. Don't speak until you're spoken to. We tried to practice that. And with the Lord, we speak to him in prayer because we've been spoken to. He's gotten our attention in some way. First time we pray to receive Christ, it's because he knocked on the door of our heart. He started the whole process. When somebody as a Christian says, I'm tired of being lukewarm and just kind of a bored Christian, I want to surrender my whole life to Christ, because the Lord brought that awareness to us. When we are physically hurting, you know, the Lord's saying, I can help you through this. God starts the prayer, and it's a miracle that we get involved. He initiates it. You might say God does a preemptive strike every time we pray. So when you pray, you know God is starting to work. You know, get in on what he's doing. Somebody at the first service said, Before God does a great work, He calls people to pray. Because He wants to share that work with us. For us to see what He'll do. In Isaiah 65, the Lord said this, "Before they call, I will answer." If you talk to a loved one, sometimes even before they make the request, you're ready to, "I know what you want." That's how the Lord knows our heart. He starts the miracle of prayer. We had an experience of this last Wednesday at the prayer meeting. And just as a simple example, we were sharing prayer requests and different people who were ill and different needs. And someone said, wasn't on the list. And somebody said, let's pray for Victoria Brown, a little six-year-old girl who has a lot of physical difficulties. And I said, okay, I remember meeting Victoria one day at Bible school. Let's pray for her. And people did pray. Shortly after that, about 8:45, someone called the church and said, just wanted to let people know Victoria has just been admitted to the hospital because she had a possible kidney infection. And requesting, hey, would you pray for Victoria? And the Lord, of course, the Lord loves people, right? He loves little ones. He loves you and I. And He's reaching out to help Victoria. And He calls people to pray. You know, before a lot of times we know what we're praying for, He's motivating us and puts those heart burdens in our hearts so that we could join Him in what He's up to. So if people come to your mind, pray for them. There's a reason you're thinking about them. If there's an area in your life that's out of balance or irritating to you, God's tapping on the door of your heart about that. He's saying, talk to me about this. I can help you. The Lord starts prayer, and it's a miracle that we get to participate with Him. And that's why He said, keep knocking. Keep seeking. You will find. Because the Lord is, He knocked on our heart first before we knocked on the door of His heart. And then the fourth principle in prayer is something that seems real challenging, but it can be a gift from the Lord that He'll give you, that we would pray on a continuing basis, or pray without ceasing. When I first heard that, I thought, I could pray before a meal or at the beginning and the end of the day. If continuously, it'll never happen. But when you think about how our mind is so gifted and equipped, you know, our minds are working all the time. They are. There's someone or something on our minds at all times, even when we sleep. And to have a conversation with the Lord throughout the day, a running conversation with Him. Many times in my life, I have a running conversation with myself throughout the day. It doesn't get me too far. I'll actually be verbalizing something in the house, and maybe my wife will come in and say, "Who are you talking to?" And I say, "No one." You know, I'm embarrassed about saying. And in the church here, getting to know people, in my office, I hear noises right outside my office door. Pastor Doug has an office right across from me, and I'm hearing conversation, and I'm thinking, I didn't see anybody go in his office. I wonder. I peek in there, and he's talking to his computer. You know. But we do talk continuously, don't we? This little gift here does run. And what a blessing to why not include the Lord in on those conversations? Speak to Him, not just to ourselves. Keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking. Be joyful always, Paul said. Pray continually. The U.S. former U.S. Senate chaplain Lloyd Ogilvie tried to put this into practice in his life. A very intelligent man, committed to Christ. He said this, "Hey, when you see people, pray for people. Just brief prayers." You can be doing that in worship when you see people or throughout the week. Pray for everyone you see. Whisper a prayer for them. And God will bless. This is a prayer he prayed. He said, "Lord, I want to pray without ceasing today. When people come to mind, I want to pray for them one by one. The greatest need in each of their lives, Lord, is you. When you like to be praying for others, that they would both meet Christ and walk with Him. The greatest need in each of their lives is you. So, Lord, help me pray. And again, it brings us back to what prayer is all about. If the greatest need in people's lives, ours included, is you, is the Lord, what an attractive thing praying is. What a delight and a blessing. And I think the Lord draws us to Himself. And when there's real disappointment in the times we miss them, just say, Lord, I'm tired of not including you in my life. I'm tired of not speaking to you. I want to share all the thoughts in a godly way in terms of praising and thanking you. It reminds me of the old spiritual song, which says, It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Now, that was a song written so that, you know, that fellow got prayed for. And that's true, too. But really, the song could be about me needing to pray. Just as you put your name in that song. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of praying. And what a delight the Lord invites us to meet Him in our prayer life. Let's be quiet before Him a bit as we close and get ready to sing. Father, I am reminded for each one of us and for people here, the first time we met you, Lord, it was by a prayer. We said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. And I pray, Father, through your Holy Spirit, you'd invite someone here today who never received you. Just that simple meeting of you. And you do the miracle of causing them to be born from above. Lord, in our world, people do seek the dramatic and the fantastic, but in this quiet gift of prayer, it's a miracle every time we pray. Not because we're praying, but because we get to talk to you. So, Lord, might your people, as your loved ones, want to speak with you often. Teach us about the opportunities that are before us to walk in fellowship with you. Give us, Lord, some daily tastes of paradise this week. Not that there'll be no problems, but we'll get to be speaking with you along the way. Bless each of us with a heart of prayer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we sing today, Take Time to Be Holy. If you would want to pray with someone this morning by coming forward and kneeling at the church altar, the Lord likes to meet people in that setting very much. You're welcome to come, but we sing the song and we take it as an encouragement for ourselves.